So you feel exposed and naked right now, don't you?
Well, I've got my backpack. I'm not entirely exposed. Okay.
True. You have your loincloth. Just not your underwear.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you...
Hello and welcome to the Best of Fives. It's our top five cold places movies. I didn't have anything really clever to say other than... Like that D-Light song. So welcome to the Best of Fives. Our subject today is movies set in cold places in honor of last week's episode of The Gradys, or 2 weeks of, because it might be a two-parter, of The Thing. Because damn, it's cold in that movie.
Uh-huh.
So with me today are Chris.
Hello.
Kimberly.
Hey.
And James.
I couldn't do it.
That was a nice try. Too much J&B.
Cheers.
All right. Let's start it right out the gate. Chris, what is your number five cold places movie?
Okay. Can I do my honorable mentions first?
No.
Okay. All right. My number five. Fine. My number five would be Day After Tomorrow.
Hey.
That was a movie that was one of its the very first apocalyptical climate change movies. It had great Scott.
John Cusack?
No. Yes, it had John Cusack in it.
By the way, that's a deep cut, guys.
What?
That he said great Scott. Yeah, I'm not telling you but naturally, without any prompting.
And one of the brothers. Oh,
because you see
Cohen,
one of the great northern explorers, was Sir Walter Scott, who discovered the North Pole.
You've discovered all my secrets. That's it. Did that on purpose.
So exciting.
Anyways, so Day After Tomorrow, great movie. It's about the climate change. The water sheds off of Greenland and turns the water all desalinated, stops the Gulf Stream, and then there's five massive storms that hit the entire planet, and everything freezes over. That's one of my fives. Yes.
Sweet. Cool.
Kimberly, you're number five.
My number five is Cliffhanger.
Nice.
With Sylvester Stallone, which I haven't visited in about over a decade. My memories, though, are very happy of it. It's a crazy mountain tension, aerial fighting, snow stuff with Stallone. And there's bad guys, and he has to fight them, and there's a lot of hanging off of cliffs.
Right.
Probably was like one of the most expensive stunts ever filmed, which was a guy actually leaping between two airplanes up in the air. So it's like crazy, crazy stunt stuff, but it's a lot of fun. I dig it.
Absolutely.
James, you're number five.
Okay. This is a tricky one, but I'm going with American Werewolf in London because we were. The instruction was a set in cold setting, and it is London, or well, it's England in general during a colder period of time than, well, it's cold there most of the time, apparently. If you watch the film, they're all wearing puffy jackets pretty much the whole time. Yep. It's not snow on the ground, but during the whole opening sequence of walking on the moors, it's cold, and all the breathing, that telltale smoke coming out of your mouth because it's cold. So I like an American Werewolf in London.
Okay. My number five goes back to childhood. I loved the cartoon, and then I actually really did kind of like even though it's very CGI, but The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yay!
Whoa. That was on one of mine, yep.
It still can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, but I mean, it was.
Just the whole going into when you first go into Narnia and you're just in the cold and Mr. Tumnus and everything. I definitely associate, because I, as it has been mentioned before, grew up in Hawaii and we don't have no snow. So.
Don't you have snow on one of the mountains, though? On one of the volcanoes?
Not on the island that most of the people live on.
Sure. Heaven forbid you should go to
It's Krakatoa.
No. Now it's just oozing lava everywhere.
Yeah.
But
hang in there, guys, by the way.
Yes. Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe is my number five. Chris, you're number four.
Okay, I just want to go back. Dennis Quaid and Jake Gyllenhaal were both in Day After Tomorrow. Gotcha. I just wanted to make sure I got that. Okay, so the second one is Enemy at the Gates.
Nice.
It is a story of the Battle of Stalingrad and mm-hmm. and a sniper for the Russians who is played by Jude Law. And Ed Harris is the Nazi that is sent in to fight him. He's also a sniper as well. So it's a sniper battle. And then Joseph Fiennes is the Russian propagandist who initially sets him up to be this hero, but then wants to take him down because there's a love triangle going on. It's a great movie. You should check it out.
The lesser appreciated of the Fiennes.
Yes.
By the way, he's great.
I heard that there was a Dora the Explorer ripoff of this called Sniper No Sniping.
Sniper No Sniping.
What? Cut
that out.
No.
No, don't.
No, please don't.
Please do
Sniper
not.
No Sniping.
Sniper No Sniping.
Sniping.
Okay.
Oh no, Diego!
This podcast is going kid appeal, man. We need more kids listening to this.
Yeah. Run, Diego! Run!
How much of this day and me have you had, man?
Zigzag!
All right, I'm taking the bottle. That's it. All right, who's next, Kimberly?
Kimberly, you're number one.
It's kind of an obscure one. It's this little film called The Shining. In case you're not familiar with The Shining, this family goes on a quote-unquote retreat.
I think that's the one I was missing on my list.
In a hotel, and the Overlook Hotel, and the writer who wants to get some writing done instead goes crazy, and there's killings and stuff. So
was that that really old movie that was in Ready Player One?
That's how I learned about it, yes. So, or as The Shinning, as you may know it from The Simpsons.
The Shinning. You want to get sued?
The blood usually gets off of the third floor.
Ding.
I owe you a Coke, Smithers.
Oh. You're awesome, Luckman. You're awesome.
James,
oh, it's me.
Your turn.
Scrooged. I'm going with Scrooged on that one because it's a Christmas movie, but it's set in New York and it's a wintry and it's cold and it plays in. And unfortunately, there's a direct effect to the story where one of our beloved denizens of the street doesn't quite make it through the night.
Yeah.
And it's pivotal to the protagonist's
journey.
So there you go, Scrooged.
Cool.
Nice.
My number four is a little film that I used to watch. I don't know how I saw it. It had to be from my pirated HBO.
but it's we've called, all done it.
It's called The Continental Divide.
Yes. Oh, yes. Super
with
cool.
I knew John this Belushi.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
Blair
yeah.
Brown.
Yes. Yeah. Steven Spielberg, after working with him in 1941, was so enamored with John Belushi, wanted to work with him again, and that's a little beautiful movie came about.
It's a very sweet, sweet movie, especially when she gets injured and he gets injured.
When did that come out?
It's a puller.
1983, I want to say 82.
Okay.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Just a quirky, sweet. Movie and it
a Chicago reporter has to be hidden away because he exposed a bunch of mob people, and he goes to cover the story of Blair Brown, who is watching American bald eagles in the mountains.
Huh.
And he's supposed to be there writing a story about her, and then they end up falling in love. Aww. And
it's really good. Really sweet movie, but that's you know, of not having a history with snow. That's what I thought living in snow was like.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
That's where I
that's
go.
That's a good one.
Chris, number three.
All right. Number three is The Gray.
Ooh, nice.
Yes.
Liam.
Liam Neeson. Liam, I don't know where you are, but I have a very special set of skills which deal with wolves. I will find you. And I will eat you. No, he doesn't.
No. Oh, God. Spoiler alert. Come on.
This is a story about Liam Neeson and a bunch of men end up getting cut off from civilization, and they have to survive, and there's a pack of wolves that are after them, and it's really good, and they have to survive the elements and the whole thing, and it's one of my...
But it's cold the whole time.
It's cold the whole time.
Mm.
whole time. There's no half cold here. There's no, it's all cold.
It's up to
all
11.
Yes. Minus 11.
Kimberly, you're number three.
I'm going into this with some hesitation because I know how much crap I'm going to get the second I say it.
Oh, I'm very titillated now.
The name of the movie is Frozen.
Oh, just let it go.
I genuinely like the movie. Yes, it is cold. Yes, there is snow. But yet, I think it's a good movie. I think it's held up.
Don't need to justify a thing.
I'm not.
Yeah, then you.
Well, I'm at once glad and upset that you thought that you would get so much negative feedback.
Well,
from
this. In general,
we have personal experience outside of this podcast, by the way.
Disclaimer.
About this, but goodness gracious, no! You said that at the time when we were together, and yeah. I think that's awesome.
Well, so many people are like, let it go. It went on and on, and it's you know they got everybody so over it by now. But I genuinely thought it was a really good Disney movie. I also didn't listen to the song 20 times straight, so I guess I'm a little more endeared.
Yeah, right on. You got to think about it like somewhere. Somehow, somebody's going to see this for the first time without any other baggage that goes along with it.
So much like The Shining, and it is a small little film.
It's just this tiny Waterhouse movies with you.
You're your indies.
Right? Well, there's more on the list.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. No. Yes, there are.
Fair enough.
So, Frozen.
All right, James, you're number three.
Oh, crap. It's me again. Yes. A Simple Plan.
Oh,
there! It didn't do great box office and so forth. Gosh, I can't even think of half of the cast at the moment because I didn't bring my notes. It's a Sam Raimi film that he did after the success of the first big box office Spider-Man movie, but it's a great thriller. It's very. I want people to go find this movie. It's called A Simple Plan. Mm-hmm. Without giving too much away, a plane crashes with some valuable items inside of it. Three people find these items, and what happens next is a character study in what matters to each individual and why. And damn, it's good. Mm-hmm. It's quiet and small, and you feel all of that through the cinematography. That you don't get to always see with a guy that has an eye towards cinematography like Sam Raimi. He went back to those roots. It's not it's not quite so much like the roots attacking a woman in Evil Dead, but it's as a cinema piece, it's far too overlooked. A Simple Plan. Cool.
My number three is a very also little known movie, and I watched it a lot in the early 80s because it was on pirated HBO. And it's called The Other Side of the Mountain.
Oh!
It is the Jill Kinmont story about an Olympic... She's a skier, professional skier.
Yes.
And she gets injured. She gets paralyzed.
Uh-huh. Yes, I
remember And it's that. How she works through that. Mm. And her best friend also gets paralyzed.
Uh-huh.
And they have to, you know, how to... And Beau Bridges is in it. And Marilyn Hassett. And I remember seeing it all the time. It was from 1975.
Mm-hmm.
But it showed on heavy rotation.
on
pirated HBO. And I just remember for a long time, I used to get this messed up with the Ellen Burstyn movie where she becomes a seer. But that is definitely not this one.
Can't think of it either.
The Other Side of the Mountain is my number three.
Tasty pick.
Nice.
You're number two, Chris.
My number two is a small film. You guys probably have never heard of it called Fargo.
Hey!
Oh, nice.
What?
Fargo. A Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, that's in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it's not in Wisconsin.
Set in Alabama?
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. In the frozen tundra of Alabama.
Alabama.
is that your friend in the wood chipper there?
Oh dear.
It's a great movie. It's a wonderful blend of black comedy and drama and you know it has just got some such iconic scenes and just the moments that are taken to allow William H. Macy to just does and Frances McDormand. And oh God, the cast is huge, and it's a great. I love this movie. It's one of my favorites.
They should do a TV series.
They should. Mm. Probably wouldn't make it.
Nah.
Kimberly, you're number two.
My number two is the animated Anastasia from the 90s, which it's such an underrated animated film. I mean, the music is just beautiful. There's a lot of cold Russia and then cold Paris. So cold. Yeah, it's...
Wait, Kelsey, John Cusack's in that too, isn't he?
I'm okay with this being a through line in my life. No shame there. John Cusack, Bartok is... Oh, geez. Love him and his... Hank Azaria as Bartok is one. This little wacky bat is just adorable. And Christopher Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
And...
That guy.
Yeah, guy.
What a heck.
Right? And a song that's totally not a ripoff of a song from Les Miserables, but most of them are very good. And The Dark of the Night, completely original.
Sure, yes.
But
I've never heard it before.
Charming, sweet, really holds up. Anastasia.
Cool. James, you're number two.
Oh, boy. This has been a rough one. Whiteout. What? Nobody's heard of this movie? A genuine movie no one's heard of before? Kate Beckinsale stars in Whiteout. I believe it's 2003 or something to that effect. Did not do well in the box office, but it's an adaptation of a comic book limited series, which kind of really hits close to the thing in the sense that it takes place. She's the... federal marshal. She's the only marshal that's assigned to a research station in Antarctica, and a body turns up.
I think I remember hearing you this one.
And okay. if you were upset by not seeing the wire cut in the thing of where Nalls loses MacReady, you see the line going back and forth several times in this particular movie. It's a great mystery thriller tension builder and deals very directly with what it's like to have to, for a human being to even attempt to stay alive on the continent of Antarctica. It's very, very cool. I don't know how accessible it is, but check it out. It's worth it. 2 hours of your life, you're fine, and you feel educated.
Awesome.
My number two is one that makes it to my list every once in a while, and it is our second Bill Murray movie. It would be Groundhog Day.
Yes!
That was in my honorable mentions.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's cold. The whole thing about the guy slipping on the puddle makes
Well,
me
they, yeah, it's like, hey, what's that first step? It's a doozy.
And the whole ice sculpture and everything. I adore that movie on so many levels. It's ended up on a couple
of
my...
Thank you, Mr. Ramis.
It has ended up on quite a few of my best five movies, and it would be up there for me. Chris, we're on the number one now.
Number one. This one was a tough one because there's actually several movies that are in my honorable mention that could have made it to number one.
Right?
But I'm going to have to say It's a Wonderful Life. Frank Capra. Jim Stewart. Just every year. I'm one of those people. I know a lot of people are like, I'm done with this movie. It's too whatever. It's for me, it is a movie that is. It's not Christmas until I see that movie. It's not the holiday season until I see that movie, and until at the end I'm having little tears come out of my eyes. Yes, Clarence gets his wings, and every time I cry like a little girl.
Me too.
Yeah,
Kimberly.
My number one is Let the Right One In, which might be one that people haven't heard of.
Oh, I cry every time.
And that little girl's in the box, knocking, little kiss.
It's like, oh.
Yeah.
It's like the title tells you what's going to happen.
actually, the title's, I think, a reference to a Cure song or a Morrissey song.
Morrissey.
About... Let me in.
Let the
right one slip in, I think is the actual title of the song.
He was the Smiths, too? No?
So that would be
Morrissey.
Morrissey and the Smiths. Yeah, it's not Cure. It's a vampire movie. It's like a coming of age vampire movie.
Without sparkles?
With sparkles?
Without sparkles.
No, very important. No sparklies. None.
I would execute those motherfuckers right away, by the way. Just dovetailing about my disdain for the unlive.
The James and vampires. Who knew? This little boy who has been bullied his whole life and has found his thing, his respite has become forensics and real crime things, and that's kind of his hobby, and it's set in the 80s. And it's Norwegian, I believe. It's Norwegian. And
it ties together so nicely.
Yeah, hello, the thing. And a little girl person next door who is more than what she seems and missing people around town, and it's just a very interesting... It's a sweet coming-of-age film, too. And there's also a sequel that was American, and both were approved of by Lundquist, the author.
Ah.
The book. Read the book, too, because it's amazing.
I thought they just did an English language remake of it. So it's a sequel?
No. They made an they Americanized it.
Okay.
But...
And then there is a further sequel?
No. Okay. There are no it's, oh, okay. But one is called Let Me In. The American is Let Me In. And I think it was 2 years after Let the Right One came in. Right when the other one came out.
And then the girl with the dragon tattoo. Yeah.
The American one's pretty decent, too. But the Swedish one, the original one, is just amazing. So check it out.
James, you're number one.
My number one is a rarely heard of or spoken of film called It's a Wonderful Life.
What?
Nice.
Unbelievable. It's got it all. I can't add much more than what Chris already said, but it is intensely personal to me, mostly because it was the very first Christmas anything that I saw, and certainly it jumps around in time a little bit, but it's set during a wintry cold period, and it does have an impact on character and motivation. But I hadn't seen, at the age of 7, I had never seen a Christmas story that starts with a suicide attempt. And had so much genuine... the stuff I was hearing about on my streets and in my house that was like real, genuine problems being dealt with through a lens of something that just happens to be about Christmas or includes Christmas. I'm like, oh, what in the... Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Everything got like a light turned on in my head. And that's the... If anything I miss about living in a warmer climate where things get cold... That does, as Garrison Keillor would say, people that don't experience a change of season, there's something wrong with them. Yeah. You need to feel what the earth has to offer as far as changes and go through with it. And that was one of the things. Mm. So, yeah.
Sweet.
Chris and I are secretly married.
Or the same person.
Yeah. He's got better hair.
All right, I have, and it's mainly just because I've seen it recently, and I realized that the number one I wrote down is a TV show. Was a TV movie.
TV movie still qualifies, still I think. Right?
All right, then
the rules.
I'm still using it.
Your show, damn it.
I'm using my number one then. It would be The Muppet Family Christmas.
Yes!
I love that
I credit
movie.
That
and
too.
In yes, and every single Muppet from my dreams is in it. You got Fraggles. Yes. You got Sesame Street. Yep. You have Muppet Tonight Show, like Muppet.
Muppets Tonight Muppets Show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have every Muppet.
The entire family's possible. There. It's
this
the
is the
family
theater, right? Save the Theater with
no. This is no, actually no. Okay, no. This is the TV show where Fozzie goes back home.
Oh, I'm thinking
mother's.
Very, I'm thinking very, very merry.
Oh, no. Muppet. No, that's the... I love that one because it has Pepe, but...
Yeah.
But it's still... this one just is...
He goes back home for the holidays.
He goes home for the holidays, and he decides to take his friends, but he doesn't tell his Mama Bear. And Mama Bear is getting ready to go to Hawaii and take surfing lessons.
Oh, God.
Or no, she's going to California to take surfing lessons. Oh. So she gets there, and then not only do all the Muppets crash at the house. Then she has rented out her farmhouse to Doc from the Fraggles.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted to get away.
Shared universe.
And so she just
take that MCU.
They decide that they're all MCU. Gonna stay there. So they're all living in this farmhouse. Aww. And he's having to deal with Muppets. And then the Sesame Street people came.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. Delightfully Bert, insane.
Ernie, and
this is hard to find on DVD now.
It is. Yeah. I own it. I own that.
Me too.
Because I'm like, it is one of the most adorable.
If you're a Muppets fan, by the way, yeah, Neo Zaz, Muppets in Character, check it out. That it's a really cool. Yeah.
that is one of it, as much as it's
like
a
John Denver
life,
Christmas, but more intimate.
I like less people in my Muppets.
Right.
I like less people in my Muppets. I
more,
just
more Emmett Otter. Less.
I want more Muppets in my Muppet because that right now Doc is the only human being in the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got cute music. We've actually done a special about it. We did a special a few years ago. I think James Keaton sat in on that one. And we sat around and talked about it and just our love of everything. And anytime I can put Muppets on the damn Best Fives, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Hells yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. If they did a Muppet version of Groundhog Day, I would fucking die.
Hell yeah.
So,
and remember, this is all about synergy. Yeah. We're all part of the Neo Zaz universe.
Now, we got some honorable mentions. Chris, since you wanted to jump to that first.
Sorry, I just wanted to get them out of the way. Mm-hmm. One of my honorable mentions was Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. We have, I wanted to say that, sorry, Scrooged was another one. Mm-hmm. Alive.
Yeah.
Hot dog time machine. That's another one.
Also
Chronicles of Narnia was another one. Gremlins.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Love Actually.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And one that's not quite, I'm sure it's cold there, but it's not snowbound. One of my favorite movies is The Edge. The reason why I didn't make it in was because it wasn't snowbound, but it's Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah, And Alec Baldwin.
And it's a bear, and they're running, and they're getting chased through Alaska.
Yeah, and it's adorable
amazing,
and cuddly.
And it is written by...
Like the Revenant bear.
Yeah, it's huge. This damn bear is huge. Anyway, those are my honorable mentions.
Kimberly, your honorable mentions.
You just cued me, so thank you. Cue to memory. Titanic, there's an iceberg.
Yes. And it's so freaking cold.
Yes.
They steam up the car and they put the window. Yep. That was on my honorable mentions.
When are you going to draw me like the French girls?
Oh, I left my notebook at home.
Very Merry Muppet Movie. Thank you, Chrissy. I just featuring Pepe. It's got a Cusack.
It does.
It's got fun sexual harassment jokes.
Oh yeah. just
he's the Muppet. And it's just it kind of gets me a little emotional. It's pretty sweet. Love Actually and White Fang. Which I'd forgotten about. Which probably would have been my top five if I thought about that earlier. But
diggity darn. Nice.
James?
Okay. I'm gonna keep it as brief as I humanly can. I'm just going to say it. I saw it once. Haven't seen it. Ice Station Zero.
Mm. Is that Lee Majors?
No, it's a Howard Hughes movie.
Oh.
It was the very first film, to my knowledge, that was ever about a research station on Antarctica or North Pole, one or the other. It doesn't matter. It was something that just before he let his fingernails grow long, it was the last movie he ever did. And Ice Station Zero. now, Misery is a fun romp with plenty of comedic moments for the great comedian James
Belly
Caan.
Laughs, plenty.
Yes,
light and fluffy.
And this is where it gets deep. I'm just gonna say, Empire Strikes Back has a wintry thing at the very beginning.
It does.
That's all. That's why it doesn't make the main list. Okay. Also, to counterbalance, Star Trek VI. Because they go, McCoy and Kirk are confined to Ruripente, which is an ice planet, and they took the effort to shoot giant, beautiful cinematic things in a wintry setting. Better Off Dead,
$2.
Yeah, I want my $2.
That's the one Cusack classic I have not seen yet.
Yeah, you are in for a treat.
I know. Everyone's recommendation. Yeah.
Part of the dramaturgy is skiing. So they go to a snow-capped mountain.
Wouldn't that be the genesis of the Cusack character, Lloyd, that follows him through?
Ish.
I think it started before.
That's another podcast. Batman Returns. I'm surprised that didn't turn up yet. Batman Returns, is the best artificial movie set in a snowy, cold situation. And then, Groundhog's Day. Yes, Reds.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
And Ice Age, animated film. And wrapping it all up, kids. The furthest tangential reach of it is Real Genius. Now, it doesn't really count, except they make it snow the hallway, and they ski, and they sled, and my favorite part, though, that I am insisting and shoehorning into this is that he has frozen liquid nitrogen, I believe, and he shaves it off and uses it as a quarter to get a soda. The end.
I love that movie.
I love that movie as well.
I know it's a reach.
Your arms are as long as the thing right now.
I'm sore just having talked about it.
You're transitioning into the thing. Arms long. My honorable mentions, I just always, it's not quite winter, but I always think of Edward Scissorhands.
Mm. Yeah, oh yeah.
The ice. And The Spy Who Loved Me.
Ooh. Not entirely in the winter, but it starts off with the greatest ski sequence opening of almost every James Bond movie. I'm sorry, I'm very excited.
So it's cold, so it falls under the list.
Oui.
And it's naturally cold, not artificial cold. So, yeah. So let us know your top five movies set in cold places on our Facebook page, whether you agree with us or not, or with
James.
And check us out on Facebook, and we will see you next week.
Peace.
Bye. I'm sitting around cooling with my dibby dibby girl.
Police knock my door, lick up my pal. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Just
Big,
like
Big,
the ones
why are you beating
I
your child with that belt while you're singing? How is that even possible?
Because it's fun. Nah, I don't know. I'm a sham, won't turn informer. Informer. You know, say that I miss me, I go glam. I need keep on burn down. Take the mind, say that I miss me, stop somewhere down in land. I need be doing burn down. Informer. You know, say that I miss me, I go glam. I need keep on burn down. Take the mind, say that I miss me, stop somewhere down in land.